there was a state trooper who was out on the highway. Maybe you've heard about this story. He came up on a group of women driving in this car who were going incredibly slow, like 21, 22 mile an hour. And he followed them for a little bit and they weren't getting any faster. And so he just kept following and finally he pulled them over. And he walked up to the car and he said, "Hello, ma'am, I'm wondering, do you realize how slow you're going and why are you only going 22 mile an hour?" Well, this lady got a little bit defensive. She could barely see over the steering wheel and she just looked at him and said, "Officer, I'm doing exactly what the sign says, 22. And then she points to the sign. Well, the officer, he tried really hard not to laugh. And he explained to her that, "Well, ma'am, that's the route number. That's not the speed limit." Well, at that moment, he noticed the other ladies in the car. And they were white and ashen and just kind of looked afraid. And he turns to her again. He goes, "Hey, I'm sorry to scare your friends. I didn't mean to do that." And then one of the ladies chimed in and she goes, "Oh, you didn't scare us. We just got off Route 119. You know, that lady wasn't lost. She wasn't doing anything crazy. At least she didn't think. But how many times as you go through life do you feel like maybe you have a few things or ideas of where to go, what to do, but you're not quite sure or you misinterpret it. And you end up doing something that really wasn't necessarily intended, or you're just confused and a little bit lost. Anybody have that experience with me? How many of you ever have that experience even as it relates to church? And you come in, maybe you're new to Wawasee, and you come in and you're not quite sure where to connect or what to do or what's expected of me and what's my way? What's my path at this church and how do I go about that? Well, this morning, we're gonna be talking about that and really over the next few weeks, just what is your path, your pathway as part of Wawasee Bible, as part of our church? And in the past, we've used these words, these phrases, gather, grow, go. We said, we want everybody to gather, show up. We want everybody to grow. We want you to grow up. We want you to go and go serve somewhere. And what we meant by go was like serve, like be sent. Go serve in the community. Go. But effectively, practically, it became kind of go serve in the church, which is great too. But we just found it wasn't wrong. It just was incomplete. And so we tried to rearticulate this and want to kind of lay that out to you over the next few weeks and look at God's word and see why each of these things are important according to God's word. So first, let's just look through that. But actually first, before that, let's pray. And then we're going to end up being in Hebrews today, in Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll get there a little later in the message. But for right now, would you just pray with me? Father, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for your incredible, incredible kindness and goodness to us. And thanks that you are the way and that you've given us the church as a family to be able to follow you together and to interact and grow and care for one another. And so even as we talk about this today, Lord, as we try to kind of, for lack of a better way to say it, organize our obedience together, I just pray you'd help me be clear, be helpful. And then also I pray you'd encourage us from your word too, and just the importance of our gathering. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first thing I just want you to know is that there is a path for you at Wawasee. There's a path for you, a way that we want you to grow and to participate and be part of our church family. I mean, if you've ever wondered some of those questions, where do I connect? Where do I fit in? What should I do? Where do I go as part of Wawasee Bible or as part of this church? I want to give you like a 30,000 foot view of what we would say are kind of those stepping stones, that pathway as you move through. And you might think of it like the map to follow or like the pattern of how to participate in our church family. And in the past, I mentioned we use gather, grow, go, but we're going to use some different phrases going forward. And so I just want to lay that out. And then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at God's word and how it really speaks to each of these pieces. So the map, it's one path for everybody, and there's four steps to it. But before we get to it, you even have it there on your handout. If you remember, about a year ago, we introduced something else that was a group of four. Our four outcomes, or what we called our dream disciple. Like, God's been dreaming about who you would become. And we used these little icons to talk about that. And we said increasingly, and you've probably seen these over and over the course of the year, that all of us want to grow into and embody these four different roles as we follow Jesus. So first off, we want to grow to become secure sons and daughters, to be a secure son, a secure daughter as we follow Jesus, to know that my identity is based in what Jesus has done for me and achieved for me. I don't have to achieve it. I simply receive it. And as I grow more and more, spiritual growth is very much about understanding more and more of who you are in Christ, because that enables you to live like that type of person. Second, we want you to be a courageous connector. In other words, to cultivate honest relationships with each other that cross barriers. And sometimes you're even creating connections with people before they've come to faith in Christ. But to be that type of a connector and to really connect with somebody, especially in our day and age where, you know, everything's on our phone and kind of fake, it takes some courage to be yourself. And it takes some courage to jump into that. So that's why we say it's a courageous connector to be one who steps out in that way. And we've also talked about the fact that we all want to be ready storytellers. We want to live every day of our lives with a sense of sentness, because we're sent to love people and invite them to follow Jesus with us. And to be ready, you don't have to like pull out your Bible and lay out everything to somebody to be a ready storyteller. You just need to ask yourself, what's God doing in this person's life? And how do I get to be a part of it today? What story do they need to hear today? Is it my story of faith? Is it a story about God's goodness for them? And participate with the Spirit in those things, but be ready and just tell your story. And then the fourth one is to be a legacy builder. To, because of Jesus, multiply everything that's been given to me spiritually, physically, whatever that is, but to multiply that for the kingdom. You know, we saw all the kids this morning heading out, and to imagine, well, what does Wapisi Bible look like if Jesus doesn't return 40 years from now? By God's grace, hopefully there's a bunch of our leaders right there. And if not of our church, maybe of other churches, wherever God sends them out. So what legacy are we leaving beyond ourselves? Because, you know, all of us, we all die. Every pastor is an interim pastor. there's always more until Jesus comes back. And so what legacy, though, can we leave behind? And so we have those four icons that remind us of each of those roles and kind of the direction they go. They're just kind of shorthand to remember those things and to live into them. But today I'm going to introduce you to four new icons, but I don't want to confuse you and make you think, oh, new stuff again? We just started this. No, those are sticking around. But here's kind of the difference. Those roles, those dream disciple roles, those are who we're becoming. By God's grace, we're becoming secure sons and daughters. We're becoming courageous connectors and ready storytellers and legacy builders increasingly as we grow spiritually. It's the ends. But what we're gonna talk about today in the next few weeks is what we would call your pathway. This is the, how do you get there in terms of participating in our church? What does it look like to move that direction? Not that everything you do at church, so to speak, is like gonna just magically make you into that person. But as you rub shoulders, there are some things designed to help you grow in those ways. And so that's what we're gonna talk about. And so I'm gonna briefly unpack what is this pathway, and then we're gonna look at God's word for the first part of it, and then look at it again the next couple weeks and why these things are important. So here's the first part. That we want you to be encouraged in your faith. We want you to be encouraged in your faith. In other words, here's what we mean. We want you to show up, every one of us, to show up each Sunday and be refueled for the week ahead. A big reason we gather is to encourage one another and to be encouraged, to give courage. Every Sunday, think about it. We gather to worship Jesus. We hear God, hear together from God's word. We respond together in prayer and in song. We encourage one another. We get encouraged from others. And in many ways, Sunday is kind of the retreat from the noise of the week as we gather to refuel before we end up scattering at the end of the morning to go our different ways for the next 6-7 days. And so we want you to gather. And so for each of these, I mean, we're gonna try to answer the question, well, where does that happen? Well, for that, this one, it's kind of easy. It happens on Sunday mornings. And this is what we're gonna dive into a little later this morning of why that's so important. See, we want you to connect regularly so that you'd be part of a community, so that you would know people and you'd be known. You don't have to know everybody, but you need to be known by some and to have friends and to connect in that way. And so yes, we're sent to love, but the first thing we do is gather to be encouraged, because being sent out can be a fearful thing at times. So here's the second part then. We also want you to get equipped for your calling. To get equipped for your calling. In other words, don't just show up. Grow up into your God-given calling. We want you to be encouraged in your faith and get equipped for your calling, to discover what it is God has uniquely designed you for. Friends, God has been at work in and on you, and you've been in his mind and in his thoughts of what he would have for you since the very beginning, even before the beginning of the world. From the foundation of the world, Ephesians 2:10 says, essentially, he's been dreaming about your life. He's been preparing good works in advance for you to do according to who you are by his grace. Now, a lot of Christians know what they're saved from, but it's kind of sad that so many don't always know what they're saved for. What do I do? How do I live my life? Who am I? And so we want to help you with this. And so here's where these things are going to happen. One is something brand new for you to get equipped, called Handcrafted Calling. And this is going to be a cohort-based group that'll take place regularly 2 or 3 times a year. It'll be limited in size in terms of its scope of how many can be a part. But it's a 6-week cohort where you will help you learn to articulate and name your personal God-given calling. Now, everyone shares a big calling, right? To love God and to love others. But how do you do that? Based on who you are and how God designed you. We're gonna talk more about this next week, but you can even go learn more right now. Wawaseebible.com/handcrafted. You can even sign up already and get some info. And again, we'll be piecing these cohorts together. The first one starts October 1st. There'll be another one that begins in January, I think the 14th, I wanna say. And then probably another one later in the spring. But we're gonna help you articulate your calling in 2 words, and then help coach you on how do I live that out, not in church world, but where I live, work, learn, and play in everyday life, because God's been dreaming about good things for you in all of those areas of your life. And we want you to be equipped for that. The second place you'll get equipped is what we call equip circles, which would be smaller groups or equip classes. And so there's a number of those that are offered. AIM starts, let me see, I had the date down here, September 8th. If you're interested in that, you'll be able to sign up for that soon. If you can't already, otherwise talk to Pastor Dave. It's led by Pastor Dave, and it covers Christian leadership. We've actually retooled some of that to match more of those dream disciple roles and how do you live into those. Life to Life is another one that'll be starting this fall. It's a small group environment designed to help you learn how to live a life of witness. Some of you remember we did Evangelism Shift. We've partnered with them for the last couple of years, an organization that helps live that lifestyle of witness. And now we're kind of rolling that out more fully to the entire church. In fact, Bob Blahnik, some of you remember him, he's gonna be here in a couple weeks preaching again, and be fun to welcome him back. But you'll be able to sign up for that along with life groups in the coming week if you're interested. And then the other one, there's ones beyond that. I went ahead already, sorry about that. But just for starters, for those of you who are maybe brand new in your faith, or you just need some help with some of the basics, that'll be another thing coming. And there's even more coming this fall that just not ready to share all of that yet. Well, you already see, here's the third step in your pathway. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to get equipped for your calling. And then we want you to engage at Wawasee, to really engage, to engage all of who you are and to take some risks even, and do one of two things, either to connect in a group or serve on a ministry team. If you want to do both, yes, but pick one. Either serve somewhere or connect in a group somewhere. And here's what that might look like. Here's kind of where that happens. If you want to join a group, there's a number of groups. You could join a life group. You could connect in Thrive, which is our ministry to women, or Forge to men. If you're a student, there's Ignite for middle school students, Salt Company for high school students. There's even some more things kind of floating and just, again, not quite ready to launch yet, but hopefully coming over the course of this year as we go forward. But get connected in a group somewhere. You can start signing up for life groups, I think, next Sunday. And so I would love for you to connect in that way. Or, now in the past we've said we want you to do both, and we still would love for you to do both, but recognize that certain seasons of life, you just can't. So pick one. Or serve on a team, because those teams, as you're serving together, when they're led, we're trying to even retool how we lead some teams to where the leaders of those teams in some way are acting a little bit like a group leader, like a life group leader, in the sense that they're caring for those people and you're getting some training. And Josh does this really well with our worship team every Sunday morning. If you show up early, they're huddled over here to the side, just talking about life and looking at God's word together. And so join a ministry team, serve somewhere. There's some examples there. You could serve in Connections or in kids ministry, AVL, which is like, you don't like to be up in front of people. You can be back behind the scenes or on the live stream. Facility team, security team, music, outreach, prayer, students. Maybe you have an idea that you'd like to do. Let's talk. And similar to groups then, ministry teams just help you grow in relationship. By the way, for all of those of you who are serving, I'm gonna throw out another date for you to mark on your calendar. September 27th, we're gonna have a church-wide training day after church. It's gonna be like 12:15 to about 2:30, hopefully less than that. But if you serve anywhere, or you just want to, or you're just nosy, join us. We'd love for you to be there. We're gonna have lunch together, and it really is gonna be a lot of fun, and we're just gonna be some practical training to pour into you as you serve in ministry at Wawasee. So September 27th, after the second service that morning. Choose one. And then here's the fourth part of that pathway. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to get equipped for your calling. We want you to engage at Wawasee, which, by the way, takes some effort. These last two take a little more of your effort. And then the fourth one is to extend the gospel. We want you to go out. We're sent to love. It's not just about us. It's about where God's put us. So be and bring the kingdom wherever it is you live, work, learn, and play. See, this pathway doesn't just end with you, it actually extends through you as we're sent to love people and invite them to follow Jesus with us. So each of these, we've kind of asked the question, well, where does this happen? Are you ready for this one? It happens everywhere that you live, work, learn, and play. It happens in your everyday life. And so on this one, what we want to do is help you and to resource you. And so there's a few different ways we'll do that. One is through helping you, if you wanna maybe start a discovery Bible study with some people, maybe at your workplace or in your neighborhood or just people who are far from God, and help them with that. Or maybe an alpha group where you just gather together and you look at God's word, but it's on, there's video and there's some workbooks, and it's really well done. Some of you have done this. Some of you have come to faith through these things. And then also I mentioned life to life. If you just wanna, hey, I just need to grow to learn how to not be weird and just be a witness. Good, I would agree. Let's not be weird. Let's just, other than in really good ways. And let's just naturally share God's story and our story of what he's up to. And there's other opportunities as well. Maybe you have some ideas of ways we could resource you or ways you want to be involved. Listen, we will train you, we'll help you, we'll cheer for you and pray for you and love to send you out. And we want that to become an increasing part of our culture at Wawasee. So there's those four parts of our pathway. We want you to be encouraged in your faith, to get equipped for your calling, and to engage at Wawasee and extend the gospel. And it's for every person. It's for every one of us. It's our pattern of participation. And today, in the short time we have left, we just want to look at that first one of what does it look like, and really, why does God say I should be encouraged in my faith? Why should I be encouraged? Why should I show up? And why? Well, I mentioned there's a path for you at Wawasee, and that's how it begins. It really begins by simply showing up and being here on a Sunday morning. Let's read together Hebrews chapter 10, if you got your Bible open. We're gonna look at verses 24 and 25 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, "So let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day," meaning the day of Jesus coming, "drawing near." Evidently, some of the people in the local church who first received this letter, they had stopped showing up. They stopped coming. And it wasn't just like an occasional absence, you know, or it wasn't because they worked every other Sunday or maybe they were sick for a time. It had just become habit and they stayed away. We're not really told why, but evidently it had become the habit of some. Here's what I think happened. Do you want my input? I think COVID hit and they stayed home and they started watching online and they never came back because it was easier to watch from the couch in my PJs than get up and get dressed and get everybody moving. And it became a habit to where now they're not even watching online. You know, all of you laughing, you laugh because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because it is, isn't it? It's easier. And some days it's, listen, I'm not here to shame you in any way, shape, or form. But I am here to encourage you that it matters so much when we're here together in person and you can rub shoulders with people and see people. You know, I joke, someday maybe I'll just stay home and FaceTime my sermon in. Since I can't stay home and watch online, I'll just do it online. No, I'm just kidding. But in fact, the word church, do you know where it comes from? It comes from the word ekklesia. It's kind of carried over. Oh, there's a long story, but trace it all the way back. Ekklesia, which, you know what that word means? Every time that you see church in your New Testament, it's that word ekklesia. It literally means assembly or gathering. That God's people, when it's referred to as the church, it's talking about his people who are gathered. It's his people, his ekklesia. If there's no gathering, no assembly, then it's not that word we read in the New Testament. Sometimes I wish that it had never been translated. It had gone through Germany and you borrowed this German word, that it had never been translated church and it'd just be assembly. Because it'd really communicate well what it is we're to be about, is to gather together. And you know, God has always had a gathered people. He brought Israel out of Egypt and he assembled them on the mountain of Mount Sinai to hear his voice. They gathered together. When the Spirit came at Pentecost in Acts 2, the believers didn't scatter to go do their own thing privately. They actually were all together, and Acts 2 tells us they even devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to community, to breaking bread and to prayer. They were together and they showed up for one another. And even the psalmist says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" Let's go. Now, if you're real honest, is that how you feel every Sunday morning when you get out of bed? Yeah, let's go. Sometimes you're like, I gotta go. Now, some of you are, and that's good. But even when you go, usually those days, because I have those mornings, but it's often, it's there's always a way God surprises me and encourages me because of the fact that I went and I showed up. Some of you will, you never see a solitary Christian in the Bible. Some of you laugh at this. A couple Sundays ago, while we were on vacation, we went to church at Crossroads Evangelical Free Church over in Plymouth. Hannah and I are friends with their pastor and his wife. They've become close friends. And we're getting ready to go. And Charlie's like, "Dad, why are we going to church? Aren't you on vacation?" You pray for him. He's a pastor's kid. Poor guy. I'm like, yeah, well, because that's what Christians do. That's what we do. We gather. And this last week, we were at family camp at Forest Springs up in northern Wisconsin, I told you, and there was worship, and there was preaching, and there was classes every morning, and it was like church every day. But that's what believers do. They gather. And so it'd be really easy to take today off, but that's not what God's people do. In fact, when we don't gather and we get in the habit of not coming, it leaves us exposed. It leaves us really vulnerable. Distance leaves us vulnerable because Hebrews tells us don't neglect to meet together. Now that word neglecting or neglect, it's a lot stronger in the Greek than it is in our English. It actually is a word used other places in the New Testament. It's translated as desertion. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes that this guy named Demas had totally deserted him because of his love for the world. And that's the exact same word. So maybe it should say rather than not neglecting to meet together, don't desert one another. It would be a faithful translation. So we're not talking, by the way, about just missing a Sunday because your kid's sick, already said this, or you're out of town, or it's your weekend to work this month. Hebrews is talking about just slowly pulling away from God's people until you're gone and nobody's quite sure what happened. By the way, on the work piece, if your employment keeps you from gathering regularly with us, I get it. But then what you really need to do is really prioritize some of those other parts of that pathway. And you need to engage and get in a group where you're known and loved and cared for. And then the other thing you might need to consider even doing is just going to my boss going, hey, could I change my schedule around? Or God, would you have something different for me in terms of a job? And if I can help with any of that too, let me know and would be glad to pray for you. But earlier in this letter in Hebrews chapter 3, we're told really what's at stake. The writer of Hebrews says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that leading to you falling away from the living God, but exhort one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you might be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You need each other to exhort one another, to be exhorted and to care for others. Peter says, the enemy prowls around like a lion. You know, I haven't watched a lot of National Geographic, but when I have, I've noticed the lion never attacks the people in the middle of the pack. He attacks those who have drifted and strayed off to the side. Those are the ones he goes after. And you leave yourself vulnerable. Let's look at our text again. I'll read it to you, how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting as you see the day drawing near. And the reason we gather, if you notice what it says, is that we gather to be encouraged. Hopefully you'll be encouraged and to encourage. It's not just a what I get, it's also what I give as I gather. That word encourage, it gets used kind of casually today, so much so that we've really emptied it of its real meaning and we just think of it as, oh, you're just gonna cheer you up. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about being encouraged. Look at it again. Let's consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. Encourage is built out of the word courage. To encourage someone is to put courage in them, not just to cheer them up. I mean, that'd be great if that happens too, right? I'm all for that. But actually to put courage in them, because following Jesus takes courage. Being vulnerable takes courage. Being a parent takes courage. And you need to be encouraged. And you know, it doesn't take courage to be religious. You can be religious all by yourself and nobody will ever bother you about it. But you walk out and try to follow Jesus at your home or in your job or on your team or at school or in your workplace or in your neighborhood. People will start thinking you're a little strange and you might find out life is hard and just want to quit everything and it takes courage to keep going. And Sunday is the time where you can be encouraged and get refueled for the week ahead. In fact, let's take a quick detour before we wrap up this morning to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, I love it. It's one of the most honest chapters in the Bible. Asaph writes it. He looks around at people who want nothing to do with God, and he sees them thriving. They apparently have no struggles. They've got no trouble. Nothing's wrong. They sleep in every Sunday morning. They've got it made. He looks at them and look what he writes. He says, truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped because I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I mean, they have no pangs until they die, until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. I'm not sure how that happens. I'm gonna start describing myself that way, fat and sleek. But no, what he's saying here is like, their stomachs are full, they've got everything, and it's just good for them. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. They don't have any worries. They got enough in the bank to cover it all. He says, my foot almost slipped. He couldn't make it add up. But as you keep reading, you get to verse 16, and he says this, but when I thought about how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God, and there I discerned their end. When I gathered into God's presence, when I gathered with his people, when nothing about his circumstances changed when he went to the temple or into God's presence. Nothing about the wicked changed. What changed was that he stopped trying to figure it out by himself in his own head, and he went where God's people were and was with them. Friends, that's why we gather on a Sunday morning. You know, you came in carrying whatever it is that's going on in your life this week, this month, this year. Some of those I know for some of you, many I don't. But you hear from God's word and you sing truth out loud that maybe you couldn't have talked yourself into earlier in the week. And if you didn't even have the courage to sing or the ability to sing, maybe you heard others sing, and that's why we all sing, because maybe you're singing for someone else. And to hear those things and be encouraged, and then maybe you talk to someone and someone prays for you. I hope that happens. I hope that happens increasingly. But it'll never happen if you don't show up. Colossians 3 describes it as the word of Christ dwelling in us richly as we teach and admonish one another and sing to God with thankfulness. Isaiah says that those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. Friends, you are an incredibly loved child of God. You didn't earn his love. You can't lose his love. But if you're like me, you need other people to remind you of that truth. And that happens on Sunday mornings as we gather. And by the way, someone else needs you to remind them. Not only do you need to be here for the sake of your own soul, but also for the sake of others. Somebody needs you here. They do. Each of us needs all of us. And all of us need each of us. Let's go back to verse 24, because the command of this passage isn't actually come to church. It's consider one another. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Well, we do that by not neglecting to meet and by encouraging one another. To consider is to fix your attention, to study. It's Well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to consider one another and to figure out how we stir one another up. That word stir up, by the way, I need to check that, but I think this might be, if it's not the only, it's one of the few times it's used in scripture for a positive thing. Almost every other time it's something negative. Like it means like irritation or to provoke or to cause an argument. It's the word that was used when Paul and Barnabas have their falling out. Dissension was stirred up between them. But here, it points at something good. We're to stir up and provoke one another to good things, to courage, to love, which means the question on Sunday morning is not only what you got out of it, but what you brought. To consider one another. Somebody, I'm guessing, walked in this morning at the end of their rope and didn't tell a soul. Somebody else is probably one hard week away from becoming one of the people this verse talks about who just slowly drifts away. And God's plan for that person, for each of those people, is not my sermon. It's you. It's you. If they're in the commons alone, sit down next to them. Ask a second question or a third when they tell you they're fine. If you want to, you can even start side-eyeing around right now, figuring out, who do I need to go to? And go after. Tell them what God's been doing in you lately, even if it feels really small. Tell them you'll see him next week and then look for him next week. Stay and linger, be that really awkward person who just stands and watches for a while, for like an extra 10 or 15 minutes on a Sunday morning or next week when we go back to two services. Come early or stay late and strike up conversations to where, 20 minutes into the second service, we just hear this boisterous laughter out there and everybody's like, what's going on? I kind of want to be part of that. Yeah, I do too. That's why we gather. Paul says to let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only what builds up and gives grace to those who hear. He writes, do good to everyone, especially the household of faith. You can't do a single one of those things for someone you never see. And that's why the verse ends the way it does. We gotta do this all the more and more as the day draws near, more and more as our anxiety spikes, more and more as we don't feel like it. That's God's design. And so friends, there's a path for you at Wawasee, and it begins by showing up to be encouraged and to encourage. And everything we said this morning hinges on what we didn't say, what comes before that passage where the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus secured our salvation and the ability even to walk right in to the holy place and know God. And so if you don't know Jesus yet, if you haven't trusted Christ, listen, that's really even, that's your next step, to put your faith and your hope fully in him and to become part of his household of faith. And just as you go, here's maybe where to start to be encouraged in your faith. Four quick things, then I'll pray, we'll sing and call it a morning. But here's my encouragement to you. One, settle Sunday. Don't decide Saturday night or Sunday morning. Put it down on your calendar. This is what we do. This is what we do. And then do it in December when it's really cold and dark and gross. And in July when it's hot and you'd rather be outside. And on the weekends when you just don't feel like it. Habits form both directions. So make it a habit. Second, don't see how quickly you can get out the door. Stick around. That's why we built the Commons a few years ago. It's why we have coffee. It's hard to move fast with a hot cup of coffee. Slow down. Talk to people, seek them out. Pick somebody, here's a third one. Pick one person this week. Somebody you haven't seen in a while. Somebody you can tell is running on empty. Just sit with them. Maybe they're not here today. Reach out to them. Love them. Listen. Ask good questions. And you don't have to offer advice. You can just listen. That's enough. And then the fourth one, come back. Come back next week. Friends, you're so loved. And I'm so privileged to be your pastor. And let me pray. Father, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for your goodness and kindness to us and to me. And the ways that we get to encourage one another, to pour courage into each other and to receive it from one another. So would you help us make that our pattern more and more to gather together and be encouraged in our faith. Father, thanks for Jesus. We pray all this through him. Amen.